From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I'm Ryan, your host over at RGR Football and the founder of Rogue Analytics. We have some great stuff coming for you today.
And I am Chris from Chiefs Digest, and thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. This is a interesting time of year because normally we'd be talking about training camp, and there isn't much of that to talk about right now.
There's a camp. It just looks really weird, right?
If you want to call what they're doing camp, go right ahead. But I don't know that I would go that far.
Yeah, you're probably right. Organized activities, I'll go with. It is definitely strange. And so far, so good for the Chiefs. Obviously, the Damian Williams opt out last week was a bit of a surprise, but we all understand that circumstance. So far, it's been quiet on that front for the Chiefs. Haven't seen any new COVID cases go to the reserve list and haven't seen anybody else opt out at this point.
Yeah, and that's kind of surprising, but it's not. I guess I'm not overly surprised, mainly because with the Chiefs being one of the first teams to report, I was expecting that they were going to have whoever was going to opt out early, and that seems to be the case. And we do now at this point have the knowledge that they are going to where the opt-out due date is by the time you listen to this, because this will be on Thursday. This will be Thursday's show. So it's possible that by the time you're listening to this, the opt-out will have already been done with the NFL. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, so we'll see if that ends up really affecting any teams. But it seems like Kansas City is going to be pretty good across the board.
It does seem like that. And I hope that that's the case. They're certainly taking it seriously. And I think for all intents and purposes, everything that's in there, you see guys even having masks on when they're working out. And I like that they put a tent outside for some of the extended workout space. That makes sense given how small the strength and conditioning center is. And that certainly helps. Having that open air goes along the way. But while the Chiefs are doing well, there's a couple of other opt-outs that are going on. Sam Beal of the Giants opted out. Old friend Albert Wilson opted out. So it is still going on around the league. I think the Chiefs are just doing a good job of mitigating it.
Yeah, Albert Wilson opted out, and that's the second big hit to the Miami Dolphins wide receiver core that they've lost in this past week, because they lost Allen Hurns as well. So, you know, and they were going to be a team that was going to struggle, I think, anyway. But losing two of your top, you know, four weapons or top three weapons, I don't know where Albert Wilson ranks in that regard. You know, that's definitely going to be something that they've got to worry about, and it's going to affect that team. But I don't think that Miami was going to be that great anyway this year.
Well, and I think this gives them an excuse to not even mess with putting the rookie quarterback on the field anytime soon.
Definitely.
Let old Fitz do his thing.
Definitely.
That said, I do feel like they are one team that we should keep an eye on. Everybody's having opt-outs, and in the East in particular, I thought that they were going to be able to compete better this year with the Patriots and with the Bills. Patriots have had a slew of opt-outs, so they are down in terms of talent, especially in, right. And as they get a new quarterback in Cam Newton, I think that could slow them down a little bit. I know there's a couple of problems in Buffalo as well, but for an AFC East division that has been kind of something to keep an eye on for the Chiefs over the last few years, I think you just have to kind of let them fall apart and concentrate on the South.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kansas City is going to end up playing the Patriots again this year. And I think that's going to be, you know, assuming that Kansas City has most of its team, I think they're going to be in good shape for that game. It was going to be a game that would have been a little bit harder, but with everything that's been going on with the Patriots, I think that's going to be a little bit different this year. And then you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. I did see something that it looks like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are trying to work something out to where they can see who has the strongest arm.
My money would be on the two of them having two of them. Maybe throw Aaron Rodgers in there as well. But I think that's good PR for the league. It's good PR for each of them. And I'd like to see Josh Allen take a step forward. I kind of pull for him. I know he's really raw, and he has been. But those are two of the strongest arm quarterbacks in the league. And when we take a step back, and we don't do this all that often, folks, but when we look at the league as a whole, everybody's trying to keep up with Pat Mahomes. And he's one of the few quarterbacks that, in terms of throwing downfield, might be able to do it.
Yeah. He's got the arm and he's got the accuracy. And that's the biggest thing when it comes to that, is it doesn't matter how big of an arm you have. If you don't have the accuracy to match it or to at least make it reasonable, it's not going to matter how big it is.
Yeah. But if they get weapons with him, it'll just make him a little bit stronger too. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'll enjoy it if it happens. But coming up next, we're going to get into Treveris Ward, where he is, had some things to say about this season and what he's looking to do. And then coming back beyond that in the third, we're going to get into the wide receiver group. But right now, I'm getting kind of hungry. When you're in that situation where you want Chinese and your wife wants pizza, or the kids are craving froyo, there's something for everyone over at DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be safely delivered outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting.
With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite local, your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, if I had DoorDash and I was in Kansas City, I'd be trying to get Oklahoma Joe's delivered, just saying, or Minsky's. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Now, we went over the secondary, and of course, we didn't have the interview from Treveris Ward at the time that we recorded it, and some interesting things there that he recognizes he still has a ways to go, but he is looking to become one of the premier talents at his position. Do you think he has it in him to be a lockdown corner?
We're going to find out this year. And, you know, we kind of talked about this the other day, but with him having to be the number one corner because you're in a situation with Breshad Breeland being a guy that's probably going to be, suspended for one or two, maybe four games. It sounds like Ward thought maybe it could be even four games. So we'll have to see how that ends up. But at this point, you would think that he has the ability to be a very good corner. Whether or not he's going to end up being a shutdown corner, that's a big question right now.
I think it is too. And I am pulling for him because I've seen consistent progress from him. And I think that's the bottom line. He came in, obviously, as a guy who was going to get cut in Dallas. And they make the trade. They bring him over here and they let him grow. And I think that he hasn't let this team or this fan base down in improving himself every season.
Well, and how do you have to feel if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan? Because they just couldn't give him the opportunity to try to develop. And I thought that he was going to be a good corner when he got here. I didn't think he was going to be near as good as I think he is right now. But I am impressed by what they were able to find in Ward. And, you know, he's got a big season coming up because, you know, if he's going to get paid by the Chiefs, I think it has to be this next offseason. And that's going to be interesting in and of itself because we've already talked about the salary cap issues that they're going to have.
Absolutely. And that puts the impetus on this season. And for those of you who might be new to the show, A, glad you're with us. B, leave us an iTunes review if you like this and give it all the five of those stars. But for those that haven't heard us talk about this before, I've been pretty adamant over the last couple seasons that he was in the corner two position. Maybe last season, I thought he played well down the stretch, got a little bit higher there. And maybe he has it in him to make the leap, to be a true number one corner that takes the best opposing receiver off the field and wipes him off of the map. That is the goal. That's what a lockdown corner does. And whether he gets there or not this season or possibly next season, like you said, Chris, that's high motivation for him. But either way, as long as he continues along his progression, I feel good about where they are with him.
No, absolutely. And I think you have to feel good about where they are with him. I think what you look at with him is you're in a situation where it's a young guy and he has improved every single year. So the question is can he take that next step forward and can he be that number one guy? The biggest thing that you have to question when you start asking, is he going to be a guy that can go in and take their best weapon away? Kansas City really doesn't play their defense that way. It would be helpful if they did at times, but they really haven't in the past. So I can't imagine that that's going to change this year or going forward, unless Ward just develops into somebody that is at an absolute shutdown corner and they want him to follow whoever. But I just don't see Spags doing that on this defense.
And I see it as wide open because we know Sutton wouldn't and Spags didn't last season. I don't think that precludes him this season. I think it's more about Ward's ability. If you feel he's taken a step forward and is that much of a strength. Maybe you do let him travel side to side. If you don't, there's still going to be plenty of opportunities for him to lock down that side. I would think that if he was stable on one side of the ball, it's going to actually force most teams to send their number ones on the opposite side and try to throw to the far side.
Generally speaking, I would agree with that. And the one thing I would say about Ward is when you're sitting here and you're looking at the way he plays and the way he has improved year to year, I think it's possible he becomes a shutdown guy. I just don't know if it's going to happen this year. I think that he's gotten better every year, but I don't know that he's going to take the necessary jump, because that's a huge jump that he would still need to take to become that shutdown corner. I think he's already a tier one. I think he's already a starting number one type corner, but I don't think he's a shutdown corner. I think there's a difference there. And so we'll see if he can do that. But the bigger thing when you start talking about defense and whether or not he's going to stick with a wide receiver, that takes a pretty dedicated group to be able to do that, because that can really change your entire scheme trying to have one guy go across the field with everybody else. So that's going to be a big change in the defense if they decide they're going to go that direction.
Yeah, that's very true, because not only does he have to be comfortable in traveling to the opposite side, so do his teammates in taking up the slack wherever he isn't. I agree with you there. That is a significant change. And for me, I feel like a couple of areas that he has gotten better in to the point that I'm comfortable, clearly he has enough speed to stick with receivers. I feel like he's very good in press, but some physical strength I think would help him. I'd like to see him develop his upper body a little bit more. From what we saw and heard, I haven't seen that yet. I'd like to get a better idea of that. But if he can increase his shoulder strength, be able to actually mirror and without interfering, obviously, but ride a receiver to the point where it degrades their route, I think that will help him immensely.
Yeah, definitely could. And then you take a look into a fact that we haven't even discussed when it comes to him. He was going to have surgery this offseason on his eyes. Mm-hmm. How much is that going to change his game? How much was that affecting his game? How much was that changing what he was able to do and what he was able to, you know, see the ball coming at him and really track the ball, especially down the field? So that in and of itself could be a huge improvement.
It could be the game changer. We've seen in years past where he wasn't very good at getting his head around. That was something that he had to learn instinctually, timing, etc. I thought he improved that vastly last season. And now if he gets around and he can actually find the ball, then that takes him to the point, which is my big drawback for him. The reason that I haven't seen him as a number one yet is because he doesn't take the ball away, or he hasn't yet enough. Positionally, he had one nice one against Hop last year that I thought was really well done. But again, like you said, that wasn't turning his head and trying to spot the ball instantly. He had a bit more time to get around on that one. So maybe the eyes are the difference.
And it was a shorter throw too, because the bigger thing is if you're talking about throwing the ball down the field or even, you know, 10, 20, 30 yards down the field, you're talking about being able to track a ball in a lot longer distance. And that was his issue before, is having the distance view. So that could really be a big thing. And we'll see how that ends up working out for him this year. I think that he's a player that you have to expect is going to take a big step forward this year, or is going to take a step forward this year. The question is how big is it going to be? And is it going to be big enough to really improve this Chiefs defense, especially when you already know that Bashaud Breeland is going to be missing some of the games this season?
He's definitely going to have an opportunity. He will have targets. And those targets come because teams are going to have to try to keep up with the offense. The offense is what we're going to get to coming up next about that wide receiver core and what it might look like beyond the big three.
Listen up, Chiefs and Blues fans. This is your opportunity to help support your local Special Olympics Missouri program. We offer free health screens to all of our athletes at competitions and other events throughout the year. Right now, you have the chance to help support Special Olympics Missouri, plus be entered to win a brand new 2020 GMC Canyon 4x4 truck. Here's how to participate. Buy your raffle tickets between now and October 31st. Just go to somo.org/raffle. That's somo.org/RAFFLE. And click the green button, buy truck tickets generically. $20 for 5 tickets, 1 is free. Connect SOMO athletes to health and wellness programs. $5 per ticket supports individuals with intellectual disabilities. $10 minimum on online purchases. Important side note to mention, you do not need to live in Missouri to win. So for all you out-of-state listeners, you can help too. Let's go. October 31st is your last day to buy tickets, but don't wait till then, because along the way, you have a chance to win one of two trip prizes to either Branson or to Vegas. And by purchasing four tickets, you are entered to win both in separate drawings. Again, head to somo.org/raffle and click the green button, buy tickets generically. $20 gets you five tickets and one free and a chance to win a 2020 GMC Canyon 4x4 truck. Check out somo.org/raffle.
Now, I say big three, you know, I'm not including Kelce there, of course, but I think we're agreed that Hill, Hardman, Watkins are your top three. It's about who comes in spots, who comes in when they go wide with four wide receivers. Where are you sitting right now in that hierarchy?
Well, obviously, like you said, you already have the big three. You know who those guys are. There's not going to be any kind of, well, I guess there could be an argument, but in my mind, there's no argument in who those three guys are. Really, when you start looking at what Kansas City is going to have as a wide receiver group, the question is DeMarcus Robinson going to take a step forward? That's been a question every single year. He's had times where he's looked great. He's had times where he's just disappeared. With Sammy Watkins being Sammy Watkins and missing games, you would hope that, you know, he would be able to take a step forward and be that number three wide receiver that you would need if Watkins goes down. Because he certainly had an opportunity last year with Hill and Watkins down at different times. So, and the one thing that could slow that down a little bit is Mecole Hardman's obviously going to get on the field a lot more this year than he did last year. And I really do think that that could really affect how much Robinson is able to do and how much he's even given an opportunity to do.
I would certainly hope so. Robinson should be no better than fourth in terms of snaps, in my opinion. But that you bring up a very good point that Sammy's been known to miss games. I don't see that necessarily changing, even though I do feel like he's been able to take care of himself better in the last 12 months than he has ever before in his career. And I would hope that that would be the same going forward. But say he does have to miss some time, I'm not 100% sure it's Robinson that goes in there next. I could see a battle there between him and Byron Pringle, who I think has the upside clearly, because DeMarcus Robinson has had plenty of opportunity and he hasn't made enough of an impact, in my opinion. But I think it's about time to find out what you have in Pringle and put him on the spot.
Well, and I could definitely see Pringle taking a step forward and maybe being that guy, but we thought that he was going to take a step forward last year and he just didn't. So it's really hard for me to expect that he's going to take a huge step forward this year. I think it's definitely a possibility that he could take a step forward and he could be a good player in Kansas City. I liked what he brought coming out of college, and maybe it just takes him a couple of years to get acclimated, and he did get injured his first year. So I get all that. But the one thing that you're really going to have working against you, at least in my opinion in this regard when it comes to Pringle, is yes, he's been in the system for a couple of years, but he hasn't been in the system near as long as Robinson has. And not having any kind of OTAs, not having any kind of ability to really work this offseason, I think, could slow him down a little bit.
It could be. I can definitely see that. The experience factor is a big one. But do we agree that they are 4-5 in whatever order you put them in?
Absolutely. I think they're 4-5 right now. There's nothing that tells me that they're not 4-5 right now. We haven't seen any kind of practices. Obviously, there's going to be differences of opinion as to who's going to be where, but we're not going to see any games. So at this point, and we're not going to see any practices really. So at this point, we just have to guess. And I would still think that both those guys are going to be 4-5 at wide receiver.
And we know that Pringle plays special teams in the five spot if he doesn't move out of there. So that leaves us with the six. I don't necessarily think that there is an outside chance that they could keep seven, but I don't think they will. So we're talking about one more roster spot. And they've got a number of possibilities there in returning guys like Gary Dieter, Jody Fortson. I think they would probably have to be the headliners there in that group. And a bunch of young guys, including Kalijah Lipscomb, who I really like, Andre Baselia, and who is the other one? I can never remember his name. It's Justice Shelton Mosley. Anybody stand out, or do you think that they will keep more than six?
I don't think there's any way they keep more than six, not this year. I think that you could end up having two on the practice squad, maybe three. Mm-hmm. I think you could. I don't see it happening, but I could also see a situation where since you haven't had any practices, you haven't had any games, Kansas City looks at their roster and says, well, you know, honestly, in order to keep more linemen, maybe we keep only five wide receivers. And then they put three guys on the practice squad this year.
It is not a possibility.
And then you're sitting there looking at a possibility of having any of those guys that you can call up at any time without having to do anything else. I mean, that to me would make a lot of sense because I think they're going to need an extra spot for an offensive lineman.
You may very well be correct. That and that's definitely something I could see happening. So let's either do it this way. Either the guy who makes it in the sixth spot or the guy who would be the first guy called up off of a pretty deep wide receiver practice squad. Who do you see as the number six on this roster right now?
It'd be really hard for me to go against anybody other than Garrett Dieter. I think that he has just played enough. I think he's been active. He has a rapport with Patrick. He knows the offense. The bigger question when it comes to their sixth wide receiver spot is who's going to be the special teams guy, because Dieter has never been that guy. And that is going to be playing a huge role. So if you're looking at just as a wide receiver perspective, I think it would be Dieter. When you're talking about who could actually be called up, I don't know that it would be Dieter, because I don't know that he's going to be a special teams guy that can really step in and do something. But he has shown times where they actually use him in the offense and he's been useful.
Yeah, I just feel like we haven't seen enough. I feel like he might be out of time. And I think it's particularly specialized to me, because I agree with you that that six wide receiver has to play special teams. For me, it's about what special teams. Are you looking for a guy to cover? In which case, I would have to go with Jody Fortson, because I think he's made some athleticism leaps getting into this league. He's obviously got the size that he keeps getting focused on social media from the team. So I don't know if that means anything or they just like what he's doing. But if it's more of a returner, I could see Lipscomb. I could see Baselia. I think there's some options there. Does one stand out to you or the other?
No, not really. And I don't know. I really hate it because we don't have training camp, so we can't see anything. Usually this is where I would love to be at training camp and be able to watch drills. And then you can get an idea of how these guys are going up against the guys that they're facing. And how are they going up against corners? You know, Fortson, I think, could be a guy that maybe finds a way onto the roster this year. Is he going to be before cut or at cut down day? I don't know. Is it going to be something where maybe he is on the roster at some point this season because of COVID? Possibly. I could see him, and I could see them using him in a role, especially with his height and his ability to probably, I would imagine he's got a pretty good vertical. So I could see them using him in that type of role, especially near the goal line at times.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's something here as we get into teams with the deeper coverages, the bend don't breaks, it's going to come into, I think, more red zone opportunities this year rather than some of the long touchdowns we've seen in the last couple of seasons. So maybe that vertical option, that go up and get it in the back of the end zone type play, may finally become something that we see a little bit more often.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go that far. I think that you're still going to see some long balls. And I think what you're going to see is defenses trying to figure out how to put enough defense on the field to stop or slow down Hardman and Hill. But I think that's going to create other things for him. And I think it's going to be a problem. So good luck trying to figure out how to slow this down, especially with Reed knowing what he's got and you having nothing to go on when it comes to preseason tape.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And folks, we're going to let you know as we get updates about this wide receiver core, who's in, who's out, and who may be that sixth guy. We appreciate you checking us out today. We'll have plenty more for you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this one, and we'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.